Hello, everybody. I'm Brian. I'm an alcoholic. And thank you for your patience with me. I'll tell you. I'm an alcoholic. I like to drink. I like to drink a lot. I like to drink until I feel better. And then something happens where I don't know what. I keep drinking. It just, it's one of those things that just takes me away. Gives me like a white noise. There was a time when I could drink and, I guess, control and enjoy it. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't come out as an alcoholic my first sip. In fact, one of my first drinks of alcohol and whiskey bounced out in my stomach like a Super Bowl and came out like a geyser. That's as good as I could do. And I thought, never going to do that again. Gin, no. Yeah. But I did try it again. And I was given a job to watch a family member's friend's house and take care of their, their dog and their mail and all that stuff. And so there was as I was doing that one time, and a young kid, I noticed there was a party next door to the other house, and they were drinking and having a good time. And I thought, well, as everybody else does, why can't I do that anymore? So I went inside the guy's house that I was taking care of, and I opened up the liquor cabinet. There was a big bottle of Jack Daniels, and I got the biggest Tupperware cup I could find in their foyer, filled it up about halfway, and smelled it. It smelled, kind of syrupy. Took a drink out of it, and came back up again, just like the other stuff did. I thought, this is ridiculous. So I opened up the side fridge. They had ice cream in there. And I got two big dollops of that stuff. Napolitan, mind you. I'm not a barbarian. And I mixed it in there, made like a malt. And I started sipping it. It was a big, big orange Tupperware cup. And it was getting warmer and warmer. It was going down. It stayed down. And I snuck over to that party, and I sat with all these big kids, and they were football players, and they were, hey, the little kid's drinking, he's having a good time, And I started feeling soft and mellow. I started feeling good. I was sitting there, I was smiling, and I wasn't worried about a darn thing. It felt good. But I was staggering everywhere, talking to everybody, and they eventually got me, and they threw me in the bathtub, because I was flat on my back. I couldn't move. I was just like a palsied spaniel. Oh, God. But I did get up. And as I got up, I ran out of that room and I knocked over all their bowling and golf trophies and went right through the screen door with this frame still in it. They chased me down the street, got me in a shopping cart, put me inside. Back then, nobody locked their houses. Nobody locked their houses. I guess I fell over in the shopping cart and crawled into my bed, and lights out, and the bed was spinning. And out of nowhere, my dad opens the door and clang, bright lights, and I threw up right on his feet. So he gave me the talk the next morning. I didn't feel a thing. I didn't worry about it. I was okay. But I never forgot that feeling. That feeling it felt everything was okay. I remember that feeling. I wasn't seasick. I wasn't sad. I wasn't happy. I was okay. Through the years, I met other people like me, and we started partying and drinking, and I hung around with the jocks, and I hung around with the stoners and the drunks, and eventually I got into some wicked trouble, and I eventually drank myself right into Camarillo State Institute Hospital. 25 years old, going nowhere, and they had me behind a big glass room with a smock on, and they were taking notes, and how are you today? Fine. And I was fine, but I wasn't drunk. They let me out of there, and I didn't know what else to do. I had a broken leg, and I was living in a recycle center, and got back to a place in Torrance. And I got my cast off, and I was in a meeting one time, and I couldn't stop drinking. And I remember I did stop drinking, but I was just lost. I kind of woke up out of it. And I had a chair I was trying to stack onto this big mirror, trying to get that thing stacked onto itself. But it was the reflection. I didn't understand it. You just put it on the floor. It took, you know, it was down there, and I put it up here. And some guy came up to me. He saw that I was having trouble. I was just all over the map. And he said, "Hey, pal, how you doing?" He sat me down, and he talked to me. And he carried a message of Alcoholics Anonymous to me that I didn't get till years later. I didn't receive it, but it was given to me. And he stayed sober from the message he was given. And I followed that guy eventually by accident. I had his number on a card. I called on accident. And he said, "Who's this?" And I go, "Oh, who's this?" "Is this Larry?" He goes, "Yeah. Why don't you talk to this guy down the street? His name is Dave. I'll take you to a meeting." And Dave did. He brought me to a group of people like this, people that were friendly, and they were helpful. And they tried to help me, and they tried to show me a way to do things. And when I would say things wrong, they would correct me. You know, but they did it in a gentle way. And I started watching these people. I watched them to the point where I wanted to know what they were doing. I didn't want to know what I was doing anymore. I wanted to know what they were doing. And I was able to take their examples and take their directions and just follow them and be a part of the group instead of on the outside looking in. What are they doing? What's the group of people smiling at? Well, they're happy. But I'd look at them like they were laughing at me. They weren't. They were just happy to be sober. You know when a group of people get together and there's a guy over there and they're not, you know, they're not really laughing at them. They're happy in their own group, you know. And within that, I started joining them. And then they offered a fellowship, and I was able to do that. And I think I've kind of touched on things that I don't really talk about a lot, but I was given a second chance. I didn't know what was what, when was why, how was where. I didn't know, I couldn't remember my name. I just didn't know if I could, I didn't know think AA was going to take. I didn't think I was going to be able to stay. I was scared that I was going to do something wrong and they were just going to fling me out. They never did that. And I started seeing other people that, like me, come in. And we didn't do that to them either. And we got a lot of things in common, this group and that group. I was at a book study once, and there's another meeting that goes on the same time our book study goes on. And just off to the right, they meet. And before the meeting, I go set up chairs. And, you know, our meeting's a good meeting, I think, and, you know, people like it. And their meeting's a good meeting, too. And the guy comes out, and he goes, "Oh, you're in that group. That's a great group. Yeah, it's a great group. You guys got a great, great group." I said, "We both got great groups." And he went, "Oh, it felt good, yeah." He kind of, "Oh, I got it." And it was a good feeling that I wasn't trying to upstand him, or he wasn't trying to upstand me or downstand me. We were both, you know, sober members in AA. And I'm glad you guys are here tonight. And thank you for your patience. And have a nice night. Thank you. All right.